Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio and simulcasted over Haggy Shack Radio. And welcome to the Shungite Show. It is October 23rd, 2018. I have with me Derek Condit, my co-host, and we have Walt Silva, who's going to be on for the next few weeks with us because we're going to do a complete rehash of the Shungite mission, how we got together, the products, the science behind it. It's for some of you people that have been with us from the get-go, you're probably going to be bored to tears. Oh, I've heard that story. But at least you can fact-check us to see if we're still saying the same thing. So, hi, guys. How are we doing today?
Hi, Nancy. I'm doing great.
I keep hearing everybody's voice, including my own.
Okay, Derek, are you muted?
I am not. I'm live, and I don't hear the echo any longer.
One, two, three. No, I don't hear it either.
Might have been me. Go for it. Talk.
No, you sound pretty good. I don't hear any echo from Walt or yourself right now.
Are you going to talk, guys?
I'm trying to
check the station to make sure we're live.
And we're being silent completely, giving you nothing to listen to.
Well, you have to, you know, the producer's drinking the coffee, so we have to be patient.
Exactly. It looks like we're, at least we're up on chat, I know. So there's people up there. So that's good. I'm not sure they're hearing us yet.
Yes, we're live. We're good. Okay. We're good. Of course, I did start listening about the time it all went dead. I had to wait for me to say, guys, are you...
I was commenting to Derek that I like the artwork on the logo for me on the promo poster. It looks like I make weapons for assassins without crosshairs.
Hey, I didn't
expected to see one of those long-range rifles featured under there.
I didn't see that. Let me look at that thing. Oh, yeah,
I'm up now, too.
I wondered about that, but it did have this wonderful little starburst in it, and it did come from you. I didn't do this. I don't know.
Walt's a sniper, I see.
I don't know how to do that, so I didn't make it.
You didn't make it. I wonder who made
it. Maybe it's some leftover from Tom Garrison's artwork.
My God, you remember his name? Oh, I'm impressed.
Well, I always, the last name, isn't Garrison like a military base? So that's why I remembered.
I'm not sure what his last name is, but I think his first name was Tom. And yes.
Yeah, his last name is Garrison. Isn't a Garrison like a military installation?
Yes, it is.
That's why I remembered his last name. And you're military, so that's, you know, just word association there.
Well, I'm going to take that out if it's not something that you want in there. I mean, I like everything else.
Well, I don't like his color tones. Everything was like that dark.
So you don't like weird. The damn thing? Is that what you're saying? You get that off of there?
I thought it was funny with that crosshairs. Oh, my God, what is this guy making?
I thought it was something that you had up and somehow or another it got into my files. I didn't realize that I was going to offend.
I let people see it in chat. So they can see the sniper Walt in action there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, Walt, I'll from now on I'll pass these things by. Well, I put it up for the last show. I didn't get any flack for it. It's up on YouTube right now.
I'm so used to seeing like my face behind the two pyramids. I didn't I didn't notice that I got changed, that's all.
Oh my goodness. But this is what we do, you know, we live and learn. Of course, too many times it's Walter saying to me, "Well, you know, after the fact." I think he's afraid of me. Because sometimes he starts.
Do you blame
him? Well, I have lashed out many times with him. Because, you know, I know he loves me. He doesn't like to say it, but I know he loves me, and he's going to put up with a lot of my shit. So.
Well, I love Nancy, but I'm not too fond of George. He can stay wherever he wants to stay, but
George.
He can sip martinis on a lounge chair for all I care, but I'd rather work with Nancy.
I know, she's nice. She's very nice. We're talking about George Patton because I had a life experience with George Patton. For those people that don't only follow us on Shungite and don't follow us on Cosmic Reality, the sci-fi reality show. That's what we call it, reality sci-fi. I love it. And we'll be on tonight at 6 to 8. Gosh only knows what we'll be talking about, but we never know that. So once in a while we do. We used to when we had more time. Anyway, I'm babbling. This is the Shungite Show. This is Cosmic Reality Radio. I told you the date, which is October 23rd. And it's been exactly a month since Stephanie Dietz left the company. Now, the only reason that I'm mentioning that is because when I first announced that she was gone, I was, you know, very nice about it. Well, I had a session with Gene Rockefeller who kind of like, you know, if you don't want to know who you are, what you're doing, or what you might have as a weakness or a fallacy, do not go to Gene Rockefeller because she's going to tell you like it is, as she did. And one of the things that was locking me up, causing me some energy discomfort because of blockage, was shame. Now, I didn't think I had anything to be ashamed of, to be honest with you, because I was full of integrity. I did exactly the things that I said I was going to do, But there's more to what happens in life than we sometimes are really aware of or have our fingers on. And part of that is the shame. And my voice is actually quivering. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I can. So it's apparently deep-rooted. It's probably something for a past lifetime. But the shame here is anybody who listened to me and trusted Stephanie Dietz. I was wrong. She is very cunning and stupid. I'm not going to tell you all the things that have happened because of her. I will say that she did, when she was here, doing what she was supposed to be doing, it worked. But there was something fundamentally flawed in the girl that I did not see. And so people, you know, I've been told this, and this is from this last month, I've learned a lot, that people worked with her or trusted her because they trusted me. And for that, I'm ashamed that you took my word for it. I thought I knew her. I obviously did not. And there's people here, we're not going to let them talk, who would tell you, I knew this from the beginning. I just didn't see it. Now, why I didn't see it, I could make up a story if you want. But the reality is that anybody out there who's hearing this message, I recommend you do not have anything to do with Stephanie Dietz. Okay? She's going to hurt you. So, with that said, I ask your forgiveness for having set anybody up who went with her because they trusted me. You can still trust me, just don't trust my opinion on people. Because I look at people and I see what they can be, not what they are, maybe. Not an excuse, just an explanation. When I was really deep into the telepathic, I mean, when I was in the military, I used it all the time. So the more you use it, the more it is. And when I got out of the military, man, I got away from doing any kind of telepathic look at people because inevitably they're lying to you or themselves. You know, they're saying something with their words, but they're not saying it in their thoughts. And so over a period of decades, I just kept shutting it down, shutting it down, shutting it down, because you get the two stories. You get, you know, what they're saying to you, which you want to believe because that's what they're saying to you. And then you're getting all this doubts and paranoia because you're not perceiving them the same way. So I'm just pointing out that don't trust me if I tell you somebody's really good. You know, take it for a grain of salt. Say, well, maybe they possibly could be, but that's probably true about most everybody. But not Derek and not Walt. Walt could have dumped me a long time ago, and he has, and he stays with me because we're having so much fun. And Derek is one of the most dedicated people I've ever met in my life, and I think he's
well, because you haven't deceived me yet. If I catch you in one lie, that's it. Everything else is going to be that you say is going to be doubted. Well, is this true now? So far, regardless of, you know, whatever foibles you have, I mean, nobody's perfect. I don't know anybody who fits the bill, the label perfect. But you don't make up stories. I have not caught you in 4 years. I haven't caught you in a single lie. You say, I'm going to do this, and voila, you end up doing it. And if you can't do it for whatever reason, you explain. Yes, I wanted to do this, and I didn't get there because of this and this and this and this. So at least you're not making excuses. You're explaining this is why it didn't get done, or something better showed up. But it's not left dangling as an oh. Because one of the things that I used to dislike no end with one of my ex-employers in New York is that I early on I caught on to the thing when he would see how unhappy I was with the work and the money that I was making and everything. He would, and I didn't know this about human nature. This is my learning curve, life experience, as you would say. He would come over and he would put the stick on the back of the donkey with a carrot hanging in the end. You know, the poor donkey. He walks and walks because eventually he feels he's going to reach that carrot at the end of the stick. Same thing. He would come over and he would sit next to me. And he would start laying out all these plans, all these things we're going to do, and we're going to make this change, and we're going to make that change, and we're starting this new account with this fellow, and blah, blah, blah. And I saw that pattern, and by the third time he attempted to do it with me, I said, you know what, forget about it. I don't want to hear any stories. I don't, you know, let's just focus on the work. And he says, why, what's wrong? He says, because everything you say that's going to get done never gets done. I'm just getting... Yeah, you know, you're being like you're getting this little enthusiasm boost by promising something that will never come through. And that's one of the many patterns that this person has. She would spend time telling you, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do nothing. 4 years, nothing. I wish there were one single exception that I could quote, but I can't. Everything that she says she was going to do never got done, never even came close to doing. So I realized that there's a giant gap. This person is living somewhere on Disneyland, and the rest of us are living here on Earth. So,
Walt, I don't know how to break this to you, but Disneyland actually is on Earth.
The other one, isn't there a couple? Minds of people.
Oh wow! So anyway, forgive me. Now the one thing that is sort of I do want to also talk about, Walt, is the fact that you and I both agree that you can Shungite won't work for somebody that doesn't have a good heart. Correct.
The thing with that it's. You could have a good heart, but unfortunately, there's another issue, and that's the issue of not accepting. You can have a good heart and still be a person that doesn't accept themselves for what they are. They look in the mirror, and they don't see the truth about themselves. So I have seen that conflict in people. You look at them and you say, wait a minute, how can this person be good on this and yet be awful at this? And that's a person with deep psychological issues that, yeah, look, this person loves animals. She has a really good heart, you know, they take care of animals, they love the animal they have, and blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to other parts of their lives, they're terrible. And one of the things that I see consistently is the lack of self-acceptance, and they absolutely, unequivocally refuse to accept themselves for who they are. And until you're able to do that sincerely, forget other people, sincerely with yourself, you're not going to change. That's why I always bring up the example of what is the first step of when people join Alcoholics Anonymous and they want to change. They want to change their life. They want to stop being what they are. What is the first step? Admit that you have a problem. Until that admission comes from you to you, you're not going to change. You're going to continue being that person. And unfortunately, this is a person that does not see who she is. She doesn't. I mean, she believes she's this and that, and then her behavior betrays her all the time. Am I making it up when I say she got really nervous when somebody that knows more than her shows up? And you yourself admitted it, that you had the opportunity to count with the collaboration and help of savvy people on this journey, on this mission, and yet she sabotaged it for you. You were always kept isolated because, no, this person's no good, or she would always use the word resonate. Oh, I don't resonate with this person, and push them away. And you yourself observed that. And anybody showed up there was that knew a lot, that would make her nervous, because unfortunately, this has been my experience for 4 years. I never heard an original thought emerge from her. Everything that ever came out of her is like from books, or somebody said this. She quoted me verbatim on an email that I wrote to her on an explanation. And when I do the same thing. I do speak of information that comes to me from other sources. But the first thing I do is I say, well, who did this came from? Okay, this person said this. This person said this. I heard from this character. So I'm not taking credit for any of that. I am relaying. I'm giving credit to the source. Okay, this information came from here. That never comes from her. And the thing that made that I found most comical of all is for those of you out there that are familiar with the character of Dilbert by Scott Adams, the engineer, the software engineer working for the pointy-haired boss.
I remember him.
Okay. Among the office characters, because you remember his office is populated by all these weird characters with, you know, different personalities, there's one guy who walks with his arms, not his arms akimbo because he's not touching his waist, but his arms are lifted up like he's walking around, you know, strutting his chest and like a weightlifter who can't bring his arms down. And the name of this character is Topper, because whatever you say, he's done it more or worse or whatever. Like, for example, one time Alice was complaining that she was having cramps and she was having a tough day. And Topper goes, oh, that's nothing. I remember the day my torso was cut from the waist down and I had to crawl 17 miles to get to a hospital to get stitched up again. So, you know, crazy things like that. And it was consistently with her. I mean, you would say, I just had this experience. No, she had it 10 times more. Never could she utter the words, I don't know. And I meet people, I've met people like that in different job situations. And when you meet someone that is allergic to saying the words, I don't know, oh, forget it. You're in trouble.
See, I told you Walt didn't like her. But, no, I think it comes, because I do want to clear this up with the heart thing. I think he's absolutely correct. One of the things that amazed me in my lifetime was when I was, oh, geez, I don't even know how old I was, probably 35. And my younger sister, 4 years younger than I am, was extremely overweight. I mean, like, obese. And dangerously so. And so I took it upon myself to say, you know, Mary, you really have to adjust your weight, you know. What do you mean? I said, well, you're really overweight. You need to, what do you mean? And she got so angry with me. And it must have been, oh, I would say 8 years before I ever had another conversation with her. I mean, another conversation with her. Because, I mean, I don't live up there. You see her parties and stuff, but you can avoid people. And she told me that when I had said that to her, and for a long time afterwards, it was when her daughter became a doctor and started on her mother, because now it's a doctor talking to you, you know, not your sister. But she said to me, she said, I never saw myself fat. I always thought I looked perfect. So she would look in the mirror, seeing that's reflecting a very large, overweight human being, and not see that at all, Walt. So yes. It's like you say, you know, your perception is your reality. Reality is what you think it is. And if you were to talk to Stephanie, I'm sure that you would believe every word she's telling you, that it was me doing something and Derek doing something that caused all of this, and that she is a victim in it, and you know, you should help her out. Oh gosh, help her out, you know, because she's a child. She's a mother with a child, for crying out loud. You know, it was always, that was their excuse for not doing things.
Here's the thing, is that that's another thing that shocked me the first time I heard it, because she's, you know, she
maybe
constantly blabbing everything about her. My understanding that...
Maybe we shouldn't go there. Okay.
No, I'm not going to say something evil or bad or anything. It's just, I'm just expressing, you know,
cautiously.
Stuff. Okay, this is one, it's an attitude thing that this took me by surprise. It's my understanding that females by nature are extremely defensive and protective about their children, because it's their children. I mean, they could be, you know, criminals, it doesn't matter. It's their children, they love them unconditionally. But the first time I heard her complain, I've been a babysitter for 7 years and I'm totally fed up, and I'm thinking, is this your child that you're talking about? What mother would have that attitude, complaining that I'm tired of being stuck at home caring for this kid? What? So that took me entirely by surprise. Do you think I'm saying something evil? I'm just expressing something that's been expressed by somebody else, but sorry.
Well, that kind of attitude, I think every mother at some point has. You haven't had to bring up a kid. I didn't bring up a kid because I was the oldest of 10, and I knew what kids can do to parents. I mean, so those kind of statements from any mother, I wouldn't really, you know. Well, but then again, I'm the person that made all the wrong decisions about her. So what am I telling you anything for? I don't exactly have the pulpit and the authority.
That's one thing that you should give up already, the notion that, oh, because I made this mistake, I'm going to keep repeating. No, I told you, you know, it's happened to every... This, to you, it's proof positive that you are on the right track. You're not a religious character, nor do you want to be. You will never... I don't ever see you as a religious character of any kind. But you are on a legitimate mission to help the planet and to help people. Because exactly this happened. And why am I saying this? Because all the major teachers have had to have this situation. You know, Jesus had Judas, you know, who betrayed the teacher. Paramahansa Yogananda had this guy, Donald Walters, who betrayed him and stole money from the organization to build his own religious movement. Even Anastasia, for all her capability, still gets knocked around by the forces of opposition. So it doesn't mean that you are bad at what you're doing. But the thing is that we have to give up this idea that, oh, I'm perfectly infallible. I'll never know. Because think about it. Everything, we are one with everything. So if we are one with everything, we have to face this darkness whether we like it or not. What makes you different from others is, what did you learn from it and how did you come out of the experience? Because this is the test of character for you. Because of this experience, does this mean that you're going to, you know, wallow in a pit of, you know, self-deprecation, self-pity? I had this problem with this person. Now everybody's exactly that. No, that's wrong. That's a wrong attitude to generalize. because this is going to happen. Now, every person that approaches me is going to betray me. No, that means that you haven't learned anything. So how you come out of the experience, that's a true test of your character and your spiritual strength. Is it going to destroy you, or is it just going to give you a nice, healthy dosage of humility? Because, okay, it is okay to expect the unexpected. And how you come out, how does this enhance you as a person? That's the true test. Because very easily, how many times I have mentioned this cousin that I have here in Minnesota, who could very well be the reincarnation of Al Capone. He's such a wonderful character. And he's a really good example to talk about in this issue of character, is that everything bad that's ever happened to him is not his fault. It's because people are like this, people are like that, and he lies, he cheats, he falsifies papers. If there's a wrong way and a right way to do anything at all, he will always choose the wrong way, because in his mind it's the easiest way. It is the natural way, like lying and cheating and embezzling, all of these things, that's normal to him. Why would he? The other way, the right way, is too much work in his mind. So when things blow up in his face, it's not his fault. It's because people are bad. So see that? He's not getting the point.
No, well, that seems like more work doing it that way, choosing the. That's just so counterintuitive. I'm like, whoa, it's less painful. Do everything, you know, quote, right, and it becomes easier and less hurdles. But
well, you know, I have to laugh because what happened was that we set up the okay. So Derek and I set up an LLC. We take the nonprofit and put it on the side because the nonprofit really wasn't, we weren't using it as a nonprofit. Nonprofit, you get donations and then you put the donations out to whatever it is you want to do. But we had a product that was so successful, it was really taking all our time and effort to keep the customers satisfied. And the nonprofit was not getting any donations, or it wasn't, I mean, nothing. $500 in 5 years, I think it was like crazy, you know? But, so we make this LLC, and Derek is so willing to take over all the crappy stuff that I didn't want to do that Stephanie was supposed to be doing in the last company. And he's taking it over, and he's doing the books, and he's got QuickBooks going, and he's got Walter happy, and everything is going good. And the accountant who I had for the nonprofit says to me, you know, just be careful. And I said, careful of what? And she says, well, I don't really know Derek, but be careful of Derek. And I'm going like, you I just trusted somebody who took me to the cleaners, and I'm going to, now you're asking me to not trust Derek? I'm not like that, Walt. It's not like I trust Derek more than I trusted her. You know, I trust you explicitly, implicitly.
Well, that's the thing that I said to you when we were on that three-way call, is that when I talk to Derek, I get the impression that I'm talking to a grown-up, not a 12-year-old, so that means something, right?
Yeah, and he's making it so much easier because I don't have to do, well, he's taken over everything. He just wants me to work the radio, which is, you know, awesome. And which is why we're on today, because we're supposed to also be writing a book. Because, you know, everybody's out there now and they're getting more and more. I'll tell you, when I started this thing in 04, I'd been in the mineral business by then, by two decades at least. And one of the things that would happen is that a mineral would become popular and then it would start to fall off. It wouldn't really live up to the jive that they were talking. So when I got involved with Shungite, my experience was telling me, you know, sooner or later, this is going to fall off. And I also said that at the time, I said, look, I'm 4 months ahead of the game. In 4 months, everybody's going to know about Shungite. But if we can get out there right now and run like crazy, then we're going to have a name as it starts up. And plus the fact I had access to radio, so I could, you know, get out there and spill the Shungite story. in all this time, Shungite has never disappointed. It continually is growing in stature. I mean, now we did shows on C60 where the word Shungite never entered the picture, you know, listened to shows on C60 where they never talked about Shungite. Now almost everybody that's talking about C60 has to mention Shungite. You know, so it's just growing in popularity. But there's no books out there. And to be quite honest with you, the reason there's no books out there is the only person that could write the book is you and me. Because Shungite has offered us an opportunity to demonstrate science that both you and I knew from unorthodox sources. What is this? I don't know who that is. Somebody's trying to get me.
Sounds like Tinkerbell.
I know.
Yeah.
But the Shungite.
Well, the thing that with the books is, like, for example, I totally get it that some people are, you know, they're all about scientific proof. And the thing is that having a technical background, having worked with engineers for 9 years, it's not an absolute to me, because a lot of it is based on repeatability. And that's a pipe dream. That's a human robotic pipe dream, because there's no such thing as repeatability, not even in nature. If you have a bush full of roses, no two roses are identical. No two human thumbprints are identical. So that business of repeatability has everything to do with money and manufacturing. It doesn't mean that something, I did this 5 times and it happened 5 times exactly, so that means it must be real. Not exactly. So, yes, I get it. You know, scientific proof is useful, but it's not absolute and it's not the last word. And one of the things I see about the scientific papers that are written about, like, Shungite and the fullerene is, okay, this is good information. It's useful information, because at least in my case, it's shown me how I can use it. But we have to go the next step. Okay, what does all of this mean to human life in general? How does all of this that Shungite means, that fullerenes mean, how does that impact my reality? How does it affect my reality? How does it help me? I'm beyond practical. I mean, if I'm not sharing something that people can grab and use, I'm just wasting people's time. My ex-boss in New York, in the last job I had, used to drive me crazy, because he was the master emperor king of trivia. He would take 3 hours to answer a simple question, because he had to give you all this build-up on context and everything. And it just drove people crazy. That's why people would call on the phone and ask for me when they needed technical support. Because if a client called asking for help because she couldn't print something, he would start off by explaining the history of printers and the different kinds of printers that exist. And the woman just wants to go back to work. So now, trivia, it's useful. It's a conversational item that you can use in parties, but I'm all about being practical. Okay, what is it? How does it work? How do I use it? Is it going to help me in any way? No, then, you know, drop it. Let's move on to the next thing. What is it? How do I use it? Well, you know, what is it for? So that's to me a book that I would like to read, because, okay, like, this will change the quality of my life. It will help me improve my life on different fronts.
Well, that's how the story went. Okay, yeah. Because let's just start the story. Now, Derek, you're not even talking here. Do you want to ask us questions, or do you want us to just tell the story?
No, I think it's a lot more, it just flows easier if you two just talk as always and just go. And that's why I kind of sit in the back seat a little bit, because I'm sitting here, you know, learning, getting educated as well as everyone else.
Okay.
So no, just kind of go with the flow and just talk. And if I, you know, feel the need to chime in and, you know, okay, I'll do it.
Okay. Well, the thing about Shungite is that it proves enterology. Now, enterology is the study of energy. So within that category, the study of energy, you've got metaphysics, you've got quantum physics, you've got the study of energy per the spirals and the spiraling concepts of orgone and organite, and people using their minds in order to manifest, people thinking in terms of energy changes because the planet is changed. I mean, all of this is enterology, the study of energy. But until Shungite showed up, there was no way that students of enterology, i.e. myself and Walt, were able to give a 3D rendering of exactly what he said. What is it? How does it work? How does it help me? Because in any science, that's the ultimate goal, is what is it? How does it work? How does it help me? So Shungite gave us a gift beyond everything else it does. It's the proof positive of the basic concepts that are integral to enterology. So let's look at it from that standpoint. Enterology also is the concept of manifesting through our thoughts a reality that is specific to each and every one of us. Nobody except you knows every thought you have, every step you've taken, every wound you've incurred, every expectation that you have. All of this stuff is unique to you. Each and every person is extremely, extremely important because of the uniqueness. All those uniquenesses come together to create humanity. And that humanity is held together not only by the biological DNA linking us all. I mean, they know that the DNA genetics goes back to one woman in Africa. One woman. It was, certainly there were other women, but it was her line that they find in everybody. She had some marker that they've been able to follow. One woman. All of humanity. We come from the same mama. Wonder if her name was Eve. Okay, so we've got this story about humanity linked at the biological level. What we didn't have, except in metaphysical thought, etheric thought, esoteric thought, was the concept of how are we connected from the standpoint of our consciousness. Now, consciousness, we can sometimes break into soul consciousness, spirit consciousness, universal consciousness, but let's just focus on the aspect of human consciousness. Because we are all linked by the very concept of enterology itself, that everything is energy. So because we have so much similarity in our biological structure, the very mechanism of the energy that we project as consciousness, as thought, has a unique human signature to it. That unique human signature holds it all together. Why is it that we have at the point of death, when somebody dies and they're actually leaving their body, somebody's got a mic open, when they're leaving their body, how is it that they maintain a consciousness coherency? Now, this is Hammermill, I think his name is, but he's an anesthesiologist who was always putting people in a state of death through the drugs and wondering about this consciousness. How is it that I bring them back and the consciousness is still there? What holds it together? What is it that brings us the cohesiveness of a storyline of our own thinking? It's because when we get an aha moment of thought recognition, it's got a signature. Nancy Hopkins, Walt Silva, Derek Condit, it's got a signature on it. And all of those things coalesce into the same, let's say, ball, sphere, energy field, whatever you want to think, that is the sum composite of everything that we've ever felt, thought, blah, 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 okay? But it's ours. But then we also have that signature of humanity. So our little piece of us is in the big you know, supercomputer of humanity. So when I talk about reality is what you think it is being rule one. Rule two is majority rules, and specified that that does not mean numerical numbers. It means the amount of energy. So if I'm there and you're there and we're here on Cosmic Reality Radio, and we all get together and we say, wow, you know, let's think about this. We're each individual little spheres of energy, our own uniqueness. And we're coming together in a subcategory of humanity called Cosmic Reality Radio. And we're talking about this kind of amazing thought of what is enterology. The more we think about it, the more we talk about it, the more energy we put into it, the bigger it takes up. It's like a computer. The more data that goes into it, the more it dominates the computer. And that's what we do on these radio shows. And Shungite, oddly enough, is the mechanism that's holding us together. You know, did I have a radio show before Shungite? Yes. Did I have a radio station before Shungite? No. I'm not even sure if I had the radio station because it was at the same time frame. It was 2014. Interesting. So you have this weave, as Walt likes to call it, of Shungite, the story of Shungite, that for the last, since 04, has permeated not only my life, but Walt's life and the life of everybody that's ever listened to us. And it started long before that when I was introduced to the dangers of electromagnetic energy when I was an electronic warfare officer in the military. You know the story. Then my brother gets a brain tumor that is linked directly to Wi-Fi signals. And was he around that much cell phones? No. This is early in the game. But he was working with radars, which are putting out the same kind of energy. And his brain tumor is directly linked to Wi-Fi energies. So now I'm like really got a, let's say, an emotional connection. Now I got skin in the game. And still nobody would listen to me. I watch my brothers and sisters hand computers to kids that are 4 years old. Hey, sit down, go for it, put it on your lap. You know, they won't listen to me, even though they saw the death of their brother, because they wouldn't believe me that it was Wi-Fi associated. You know, so finally I give up. They beat the crap out of me. I give up. And then one day in 04, the computer is bang, 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 and it's a Facebook group. Somehow or another, they'd found out about the dangers of electromagnetic energy. And they were all freaking out. So I go over there and I look at it and I went, Gaia, please give me something to help them. Because I knew what they were up against. It's a huge, huge, huge hill. So I go back to what I was doing. And for years, until 2 weeks ago, I couldn't remember how I had gotten on to Shungite. But what had happened is that while this thing starts dinging on me, I had been researching electromagnetic pulse weapons, because electromagnetic pulse is a natural occurring pulse of energy that blows out electronics when there's a nuclear explosion. And as you have to make your equipment so that it can withstand this. But they had finally decided that they could make small versions of this, that they could artificially create an electromagnetic pulse and blow out whole areas of the country's electronic systems. And I was looking at this. Is this feasible? Because of, you know, who I am, what I know, and I was just interested in it. And as I'm looking at this, I see this statement, and it says, the Russians are using a mineral called Shungite to shield their electronics. And I was like, wow, what the hell is that? You know? And meanwhile, I've still got it in my head that these people are all concerned about electromagnetic energies, but now, you know, here, I just asked Gaia, give me something, and now there's this stuff called shungite that's supposed to shield you from this shit? Let's look into this. So I look into it, and sure enough, it's being touted as a something that you can shield against all sorts of radiations, natural radon to, you know, uranium, everything. And so I go back to the Facebook group, and I said, just get yourself some shungite, you know, if it shields yourself up. And I go back about my business. And then the next day, ding, 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 and I go over there. Well, they had heard me, but they couldn't find any shungite. They didn't know how to get it. It was so unknown in the United States that they actually didn't know how to go about finding it. And so I said, oh, this shouldn't be a problem because I know minerals. And lo and behold, I discover that, hey, they're right. There's a huge hole in America, actually North America, Canada, South America, the whole half of the planet doesn't know about shungite, and yet the other half does. What's this about? So apparently they were waiting for me to see this, because I start to do the research. I start to find out, oh my heavenly day, this stuff is not only good for shielding against EMF, it doesn't shield, that's what they say, but it's not the word. That's not the correct word. And I know I'm going on here, but this is stuff that Walt wouldn't know, or he does know, but I'm going to tell the story about this because we're writing a book that people will enjoy. We're just going to transcribe these radio programs. And so what happened was that as I began to look more and more into the shungite, I got more and more excited. I had never seen a mineral that was supposedly doing all the things that this had done for so many decades, centuries. You know, it was withstanding the principle of it's going to run out, the time element. So now I'm getting more and more interested in it. And still, I wasn't motivated to go and buy it. I was investigating it. So then, a couple of days later, Lee Brown shows up at my house, and she's got shungite with her. And she puts a ring on a Wi-Fi antenna, and the entire room changed. The energies in the room changed. Why did I know that? Because that's another gift that I was given to be able to do this. Not only did I know the mineral kingdom, I also knew import, export worldwide. I'd been doing it for a company as their office manager. I was extremely knowledgeable in research and writing and putting things together, and you know, all the traits that you have to have to be able to pull this sucker off. And I had access to radio. So I began to talk to JP. And JP goes on a show where Walt was a radio host. Okay? Now, Walt, I want you to pick up this story here. And we probably will run into the break, but we'll you know, catch it after too. But I just want you to detail out, you know, how did you get the skills to understand enterology, and how did it interface with the shungite world? I mean, we know that it was JP that went on that show that started talking about shungite, and you got shungite. You had not heard about me at the time. You didn't know what I was saying. But how did you get to that point so that you could understand that shungite was something magical?
Since 2004, I had been reading everything I could get my hands on this issue of organite, because organite is a tool for transmuting the organ field, the quality of the organ. Because I had read the book, The Cosmic Pulse of Life, by Trevor James Constable, an Australian author. And he has an entire chapter on the life and work of Wilhelm Reich. So I started reading about the conditions of organ in our houses and in the cities, the work that Reich did, how negative organ could actually hang up in the atmosphere and affect whole geographic areas when he started doing his work of removing large swaths of negative argon. For example, in over the desert, they realized that new vegetation was coming up, yet there was no rainfall. So it was the negative argon hanging over a specific area that was stopping vegetation from coming up. And so reading up on all of that, I started investigating, okay, what can we do? What can be put together to change the quality of the argon? And that's why I started reading everything I could get my hands on the organite. Then I hit a stumbling block because I found that, unfortunately, organite does get saturated. For people that like to do their own home experiments, you will find that organite behaves like a sponge behaves with water. It actually does shield. It actually does absorb negative energies because the purpose of it is to pulse it from stagnant argon is degrading to life. That's why now office spaces have flat panel displays, which are not, they're not putting out, you know, negative amounts of energy like the old CRTs, but that's why in office spaces people would go into their office and they would get headaches, their eyes would get dry and burn, or they would get tired unnecessarily so, and they would wonder what's going on. Well, because you're sitting in a field of stagnant argon, and it has this depleting effect on life, because you're so if you have a pulse, you're supposed to be alive, but unfortunately, you're sitting in a field of counter-life. So one of the problems that I encountered with the organite was this factor that it does saturate. This gentleman who started the Tower Buster grassroots movement, Don Croft, spoke about it, the saturation of the organite. And the only way to cleanse it is to, well, not the only, but one of the ways to cleanse it, either some people would put it in the ground, others would put it in a natural stream. Yeah, where am I going to get a natural stream smack in the middle of New York City? Not likely. Or put it out in the sun. Also not a very useful solution when you live in higher latitudes where you get cloud cover most of the year because you have short winter, you have short summers. So I evolved. I didn't go away from organite, but I moved from organite into the Sperling technology because Sperling technology, the organ never stops moving. All the devices that he made produce a torsion field of the etheric in the etheric domain, but the limitation in the Sperling devices is that they work great with organ and subtle energies, but they're not, they don't do much of anything when you're dealing with EMF on high frequency electromagnetic fields. They don't, because that's not their job. They can do what they're meant to do.
Well, can I interrupt you here? Because I want you to define, first off, a torsion field and also the concept of the etheric. Because these are critical to enterology. That, well, go ahead. You explain it, please, if you can. Well, of course you can.
Well, etheric is because creation is not one thing. Creation is like a gigantic wedding cake with multitude of layers. In fact, it was when you mentioned earlier the man who did experiments of keeping people close to death. And well, the one error of in my insignificant estimation, I guess, the one error I perceive is that he saw creation from the bottom up, that first you're this physical body, and then what happens after this physical body is no more. That it doesn't work that way. Creation comes from the top down, and it has been proven scientifically. And one of the proofs that I'm going to quote is the work done by the Kirlians with their photography, where somebody who's a perfectly healthy physical body, they would photograph the person and they would notice a dirty yellow blotch in a specific part of the body, and they're photographing the person's etheric body. Then days later or a week later, that part of the body would come up with a diseased organ or something. So creation is from the top down. things have to exist in a higher dimension before they can manifest in the physical. That's why your dreams can come true, because what you build in the higher dimensions, and you don't sabotage what you've built, it will manifest here in the physical. You know, there aren't any public schools that teach this, so when people hear it for the first time, they go like, what? What are you talking about? Everybody's used to, if I want to build a house, I got to get materials, blah, blah, blah. Only then can I build a house, right? Well, think about it. What are you going to do with materials if you don't have a blueprint for a house? Anything that exists, a chair, a table, began its existence as a thought, as a concept in a designer's mind, in an architect's mind, in a builder's mind. They had to create a template in the domain of thoughts.
Well, let me just jump in here and say that what Walt is alluding to is the fact that it's all imagination. If you can imagine it, you can create it. But they keep telling us that imagination is something that is BS, that it has no power. No, that's where it all starts, in the imagination. So if you can imagine,
the problem with imagination is that they don't teach you how to use it correctly. It's like having a most amazing instrument in your hands, and you look at it and you're like, okay, what do I do with this? And you start using it halfway and, oh, I know, I'll use it to spoon up food from my plate into my mouth. And it's not that at all. It's something completely, it's not meant for that. So imagination, we've never been taught. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's, many, many schools, I mean, I've been through the primary educational system and they don't encourage imagination. They encourage, you know, listen to what we're telling you. This is the way it is.
Well, the most amazing scientist that any of us can mention is Tesla. And Tesla would sit there and imagine what a motor would look like. He would be able to spin it around, test it out. He did everything in his mind, in his imagination, and then went over to a table and started building it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if the most successful scientist in the annals of science can build it in his imagination and then walk over and just blah, 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 put the tools together to make a 3D thing, why limit your potential? You know, practice imagination.
And that's exactly in other fields of human activity that applies for all the fields. Case in point, a historical figure, Mozart. Mozart, when he would write down his music, that's one of the things that the father noticed, because the little kid, he was, what is it, 8, 9 years old, and he was already composing entire concerts. The first thing, this was told to me by my cousin, who happens to be an orchestra director. He said the first thing that his father noticed, that the little boy was writing music, yet he had absolutely no errors in harmony. Because what he was doing is, he wasn't composing on the paper. When he would sit down and write the notes on the music sheets, it was already finished. All he was doing is just writing it down so that there would be a written record of it and others, you know, could play the music. But it was already finished in his head. He didn't make any errors, like he wasn't scratching off notes or erasing a note and writing another note and correcting. No, you wouldn't see that. It was already finished in his head, inside him. All he was doing is just transposing it onto the paper, like someone transcribing, you know, written, you know, oral words and typing it down. It was already done. So, but the thing is that we're not taught how to use that particular ability correctly, because I shared with you the initial email to this lady in New Zealand, Mary Hall, Mary Holland, about how to go about.
Okay. Before we get into that story, because that story deserves to be told in its full. Let's take a break. Okay. You good with that? And it's about a 3-minute break, and everybody will be back after Imagine Dragons Thunder.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder,
thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder,
thunder,
thunder, feel the thunder, lightning and the thunder, thunder, feel the thunder, lightning and the thunder, 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 thunder.
Were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses. Who do you think you are? Dreaming about being a big star. They say you're basic, they say you're easy. You're always riding in the backseat. Now I'm smiling from the stage while you were clapping.
Welcome back to the Shungite Radio Show, Cosmic Reality Production. My name is Nancy Hopkins. It's October 23rd, 2018. With me is my co-host, Derek Condit, and we have with us Walt Silva, who was about to tell us a story regarding New Zealand.
Okay. Are we back?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay. Now, what I was saying, I was just going to use as an example, because what I was saying is that we're not taught properly. I mean, no public school does it, how to use our imagination, because we apply incorrect concepts to the use of the imagination. Like, for example, the concept of practice makes perfect, that in order to learn any instrument or device or anything, you have to keep practicing every day. And well, what you're doing there is you're committing that knowledge to cellular memory. We change all our body cells every 7 years. That's why it takes 7 years to master any musical instrument. You need daily practice. So by the end of the 7 years, you don't need to look at your fingers when you're playing anything. You just need to know what is it, what's the sheet music that you're playing. Because now all your body knows how to manipulate that instrument. And people, when they want to manifest something from their thoughts, they keep thinking about it over and over because practice makes perfect. All they're doing is they're sabotaging the energy, because here's the thing. Okay, let's say you want to manifest a new bicycle. So you keep like either admitting I want a new bicycle or I have a new bicycle, and they keep repeating that thought throughout the day. And it, hidden, encapsulated in that thought is your awareness that you don't have the bicycle. That's why you're asking for it, because if you had it, you wouldn't be asking for it. That's a detail that escapes everybody or most everybody. By you repeating that, you keep repeating the fact that you don't have it, and that's what you get, the not having it. So the way Dr. Costa would train people is, okay, you are aware that you are needing this or wanting this. Okay, send the thought out. And say, for example, oh, I'm so happy I have this new table. And then completely forget it. Forget it absolutely. Go into a state of amnesia. And forget that you sent out the thought, because now it will manifest, because there's nothing sabotaging that energy. It's all the same way, you know, that saying, nature abhors a vacuum, you know, that they say in school when they're teaching you physics. Well, the universe is kind of like that. The universe abhors an unanswered question or an unfulfilled desire. But the problem is that we keep sabotaging it. We keep putting it in the future. So the one thing, that's why I told this before I tell the story of the lady, that's why I say to people, like when you're programming any Ashanga device or something, don't say or avoid saying things like, I want this or I want that. No, because doing that, you're putting it in the future, in a never-ending future, in a future that will never get here, because you keep the expression is, I want this. Why do you want it? Because you don't have it. But if you do it differently and you say, thank you for this, thank you for that, that's it. It's right here in the present. That's why you're giving gratitude. That's why you're giving appreciation, because it's right here, right now, in the present. Nope. And the universe has no choice. It has to respond, because you're giving gratitude that it's already here. There's no waiting. And the story of this lady has to do with a subject we've discussed in the past, which is the presence of the Shanghai grid. I have a terrible head for time counting. Maybe Nancy remembers if it's been 2 or 3 years since I put Shanghai on the abandoned satellite antenna. I don't know if it's 2 or 3 years.
Oh, it's longer than that, Walt, because it was right. One of the first things you did, really. So it would have been 2005, 2004. So it's at least 3 years.
Oh, okay. And I had a DirecTV antenna, because I used to have the service, gave it up, but they take away all the equipment, but they leave the antenna there on your roof. So it still has the alignment to the satellite. And knowing how Shanghai loves to grab onto any energy form, I thought, well, if I put Shanghai there with a specific device, the Shanghai energy will ride up the signal, because the signal is still hitting the dish. Because Shanghai does do that. It flows downstream and upstream. And that's after I set it up, I remember getting you on Skype and asking you if you could remote view, and I said to you, what I'm wanting to know is the signal now not only in the specific satellite for that antenna, but if it's also jumping around the different satellites, because there are satellites that, especially global positioning satellites, do rotate. They're not geostationary. They do rotate around the Earth, so as they are rotating, they are passing under the cone of influence of this specific TV satellite. So the signal is also hitting them, and therefore it's spreading from satellite to satellite to satellite. And I remember you said that, yes, this was happening. So later on, when I did a shamanic journey regarding the issue of the Shanghai, it had formed a grid of sorts around the planet. So the energy was there for those that wanted to avail themselves of it. There was an experience where I found that it had to do with everyone's sovereignty and with everyone's space, because in my case, I started using it to get rid of chemtrails. if I ever even got a whiff or a glimpse of a chemtrail, no matter how far away or how small it was, I didn't need to look at the antenna because I know what it looks like. So I just focused on that as a focal point of where the grid starts. And I would say, thank you for transmuting these chemtrails into pure water vapor. And I would forget about it. Totally forget about it, not even think about it twice. And then 10 minutes later, the sky was clear. Again, nothing, not a trace of anything. So I shared that information with a lady customer that lives in Costa Mesa, California, because she wrote to me about what could she do, that the days would start out beautiful and clear, and then they would start spraying like crazy, and the rest of the day would be muggy and cloudy. And she hated that. So I sent her a photo at the time of the satellite antenna and told her this would be like the root, the point where the grid starts off. And I said, focus on this and use your thinking and just say, use your gratitude and say, okay, thank you for clearing the skies or whatever feels right to you. The important thing is that the words be charged with your emotions, especially, you know, gratitude and appreciation. So she started doing it, and she started sending me pictures. She goes, this was the sky this morning, nice and clear and blue. And she says, this is what happened 10 minutes later. They started spraying like crazy. So then she sent a third photo after she had spoken to the grid, and the sky was clear again. So she was really happy with that because she was able to help herself. Then she went on vacation to Italy, and when she was in Italy, she observed chemtrails again. So she decided to use the grid to clear the skies, but nothing happened. And she wrote to me, and I said, well, Maria, think about it. In Italy, you were just visiting. You were a tourist. So that's not your place. That's not your space. You don't have a right to make alterations to that reality. And it made sense to her. So Nancy shared with me and Derek an email from a lady in New Zealand. And she was seriously concerned because for some inexplicable reason, you know, this so difficult to explain what's in the minds of many governments. They were spraying some horrible poison, something called 1080. She wasn't clear on the letter if it was certain forests in New Zealand or all the forests in New Zealand. But the important thing is that the official explanation, there's always, you know, an official explanation to kind of satisfy the public, was that they were doing that to get rid of pests or something. But the end result is the end result. You're poisoning the land. You're poisoning an ecosystem with the excuse that you want to eliminate something, which that's like, you know, trying to kill a mosquito with a cannon. That's absurd. You don't do things that way. So she was so concerned. And I said to her, well, you can do something that we cannot because you are a native there and you are a citizen there. That is your place. That is your space. And you have a right to make changes to that reality. So I took that very same day that I sent the message, I took two photos of the antenna because it keeps growing. It's covered with coils that are either embedded in shungite or activated with shungite for different programs and different purposes. I mean, one of them is to transmute all glyphosate everywhere. That's why I said to Derek, you're not going to find your detection strips are not going to find any glyphosate if this thing is doing its work. And it's funny that I'm seeing more and more articles of municipalities that are prohibiting the use of glyphosate. I said, oh, that's good. The coil is working. In any case, I told the lady, use these images as a focal point when you're addressing the shungite grid. And I said, use the satellite photography that you can get from Google Maps and print out the photos of the affected forests. And you can put one picture on top of another. You can put the two pictures underneath a pyramid. But just use your purest intention and just give gratitude to the shungite grid for transmuting all the poisons in all the forests. The important thing is, I said, avoid. That's another thing. Language is so important. avoid statements listing conditions. Like, for example, let's say you want to make a device to protect you, like an insect repellent, when you're having a picnic in your backyard and you don't want the mosquitoes to attack you or something. If you use a programming and you use the word, oh, protect me from all mosquitoes, or reject or shield me from all mosquitoes, all of that. Okay, what about chiggers and other biting insects? See, by creating lists of conditions, in that gap between condition and condition, you have a loophole. And dark forces are very intelligent and very cunning, that they will exploit each and every loophole they can find. So I said, if you use a non-dualistic statement, something that is all-encompassing, then there's no loopholes, there's no choice. So I said, if you say thank you for transmuting all poisons, all man-made contaminants in the forest, something, there's no gap, there's no loophole, and everything will be processed, not just the one poison that they're putting down. So I sent that message, shared it with you and Derek, and never heard it back from her. I thought maybe she didn't get the message. You know, it's, if she got it, fine. If she didn't get it, maybe she'll write back. And then eventually she did write back. And she, like me, she's also a dowser. So she relies on her dowsing skill for asking questions and making detections. And she said that when she got my note with the explanation, she had already doused the condition of the forests that were sprayed. Her dowsing told her that 70% of the forests were being affected by this poison that had been sprayed by the government. And then 5 days later, after doing that intention and speaking to the Shanghai grid and putting the pictures together, she was dowsing the forest and she was getting that 100% of all the poisons were had been transmuted. So they're non-active. It's just neutral material. And she says, and I did douse the question in a multitude of ways, because that's another thing about dowsing. You have to learn to master the language, because if you don't ask the right question, you get the wrong answer. So, and she said she doused the question in a different ways, and she kept getting the same answer. It was 100% of all the poison had been already transmuted. So I said to her, well, congratulations for a job well done, but now your work begins, because if you see anything else that needs your attention, you... it's your responsibility to avail yourself of this resource to continue addressing where your country needs, because anything that has to do with atmosphere, with the soil, with the water, you can help that situation, but you can, because you, that's your space, that's your place. So you're using your sovereignty in your space. That's another thing that they don't even let us be aware of, that you are sovereign in your space. We are programmed to think that we're these little sheep, and if somebody wants your house, they can buy it and take it away from you. No, it's your space. You know, defend it. That's how this whole mess began, with the downfall of humanity, you know, the Bedouins losing their domains.
You know, I heard an interesting fact the other night, and it was that the domesticated sheep, their brains are a third less, I mean, only a third of what the wild sheep brain capability is, a third, because they've been domesticated. And, you know, it's like, it's one of the, okay, what you're explaining to people is massively important, you know, that, because this is only one example of many examples. But let's go back to where we were, because we can talk about this in depth even more. But let's go back to the point at which I begin to realize that the only way that we're going to get Shungite to the masses, because that was, Gaia gives me the mission, get Shungite to the masses, is for me to actually start bringing it into America. Now, at the point that I started this, there was three vendors, that two of them only dealt with nuggets and water. And one of them dealt with jewelry, such as the ones that Lee Brown had brought me. So the eBay vendors, again, were U.S. based. Initially, I didn't find anybody that was outside the United States. But as I'm looking for it, it's getting more popular. Because, again, I'm talking on the radio. I'm talking about this stuff, even though I don't really have it yet. And talking theory. And then I start to bring in nuggets. I bought from those guys. Then I find Europeans. And at that point, I started to buy as many different vendors as I could to try to find out what is the what are we talking about? What is out there? So I started doing that, just using my own money, buying up what I could from different available sources. Well, once I get it and I start playing with it and I start to test it, I test it with the water and I put some nuggets, taped them to the pipe, the water pipe, and I'm looking down the pipe towards the house when I feel the field go up the pipe towards the water meter. And I'm going like, oh my God. And that was when I understood what was happening with the fields themselves. When shungite, this massively powerful field, interacts with water in the pipe, the water begins to spin because of the field of the shungite. And as it spins, it doesn't go, it's not that it's only going downstream. Any molecule that's spinning starts to cause a resonant reaction in the one next to it, and that begins spinning, and then so on and so on and so on and so on. And over the years of working with it, we realized that this continual spinning happens until it meets a valve. And there's no water on the other side of the end of it. If you open up the valve and you're connected to the water supply on the street, then boom, that starts to spin too. But if a valve comes into the picture, the water spinning with a shungite on one side does not make it start spinning on the other side necessarily. Sometimes you have to have them connected. Let's just go with that right now. So I was learning things about the nature of the energy field by working with the water, because I could detect in the water the changes because I'm energy sensitive. So I get a bunch of these nuggets and I figure out, okay, how can I get them out to the people? Well, you start an internet store. And by now, I put up an internet cosmicreality.net website to chronicalize, well, both the radio station that was growing about the same time, but also the radio show, not the station at that, the radio show, but also to tell people about the dangers of EMF, because this group on Facebook were the tip of the iceberg. All of a sudden, everybody is beginning, not everybody, but there was a wave of people beginning to understand the dangers of EMF and Wi-Fi, which was awesome from my standpoint. So the next thing I do is I have to address the EMF Wi-Fi situation. So if you can see the picture, I don't know if it's been, it probably hasn't even been published on the chat, but you'll see the promo picture. There's a little bag. It's a purple bag that's got a certain amount of smaller nuggets in it, because at this time you'd get, you know, 25% of the nuggets might be good for pendants. And not the quality was there, but the sizing, you were really limited. They were small. And then you had a lot of smaller stuff that was very hard to work with. So, but I get these bags, I put this smaller stuff in it. And what we did was I brought over, two separate groups. Two people, me, myself and somebody else was a duplicate of the experiment, but different people that are energy sensitive. And I began to weigh out how much of these little nuggets would make a difference on the electric system just by putting it on the Comcast, you know, where the cable comes into the house, that box there, just by putting it on that box. Somebody's got a mic open. So I would take the nuggets and weigh them out and then put them on there, and you could feel every time I would add more nuggets, it was like you'd have another slight jump in the energy field towards the good side. And finally, when we got to 15 grams, which is not very much at all, we weren't detecting an increase in change. The attenuation was set at 15 grams. You could put 15 grams and your electric system would jump. And it would now, instead of turning that in a way that we called counterclockwise, just to get people to understand it, was now clockwise like your cells and everything else, so that you're spinning in unison with your energy field instead of it trying to stop your cells from going, which causes disease, which causes disease, which causes you to die. And in the first case, it clogs your mind. Your mind gets foggy when you're under these influences. So I had now two products. I had bags of nuggets, and I had the Bucky bag that all you had to do is take it, put it on your cable, and boom, everything's going to be fine. And I had the pendants, because I'd been making these pendants for a very, very long time. I'm not sure where I learned it, or if it just came to me or somebody taught me. I have no recollection of how I knew how to do it. And there was, that's when I meet Walt Silva. Because I'm out there talking to JP and anybody else that will listen to me. And, Walt, you heard JP and you got the shungite. And you started to work with it. But then somebody sent you a tape of me talking to Jay, and something I said made you create the resonator. And then you go online and you're talking about this resonator, and I see you talk, who is this guy? And that's how we got together. But what is it about the resonator? Because that was the first, well, to my knowledge, I mean, protecting EMF, but how did talk about the devices that you created initially when you met Shungite.
Okay. You are correct. The JP spoke about it. Maybe some of our listeners are aware of that show, the Frank Jordan Healing and Meditations. I don't know if the program is still in the air. It used to be Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And Sundays, JP would be the producer for that show. One of those Sundays, JP spoke about this mineral that he had been made aware of. But he couldn't very well say. I kept asking, what does it look like? What does it do? It sounded very interesting, but he couldn't elaborate much on it. So I went onto eBay and I bought a kilo box from some Ukrainian source. The box came all written in Cyrillic. So I scanned the box and I went to an online translation. So everything the box had to say was about water purification. So I just put it on the side and I said, okay, you know, well, when I get a chance, I'll take a look into this. And one of the members of Jordan's group sent me the file, the MP3 file of a show with you and JP, where JP was interviewing you and you were talking about Shungite. And that's when you started elaborating. You told the story of the ring and the Wi-Fi of Lee Brown's ring and the Wi-Fi. And the one thing that got my attention was that you said that every single nugget had appeared to have its own particular field. And when you had two or more nuggets in proximity, those fields were resonating with each other. And I thought, oh, that's useful. I can use that. I can work with that. So the first thing I started doing, at the time I was already making Sperling devices. I was making my own AccuVac coils. I was making the feedback coils. I was making LifeLite rings. And the thing that got my attention is that this thing conducts electricity like a metal, but it's not metal. I wonder what would it do if I spliced it together onto a Sperling device. So the first thing I did is I doused the nuggets, and without exception, all the nuggets have organ polarity. One side of the nugget will be positive, the other side will be negative. So I just had an open AccuVac coil, and I just spliced the nugget onto the ends of the coil in series so that you have organ flow. And the first thing that got my attention, that it was so obvious, was the coil would get cold to the touch. Every time I would connect the nugget to the coil, it would get cold. So I thought, maybe it's just a thermal sensation. And I took a digital thermometer, I attached the probe to the body of the coil, did it again. The thermometer was set for Celsius, not Fahrenheit. And every time I would splice the nugget, it would go down 1 degree. So I started dowsing, okay, is the organ in the wire flowing faster now? Yes. Is it flowing at the speed of electricity? No. Is it 2 times speed of electricity? No. And I kept raising the number. 4 times the speed of electricity? Yes. 5 times the speed? No. So the final number was that with the nugget in the circuit of the coil, the organ flow in the coil was 4 times the speed of electricity, which explains a lot, because when I did AC power tests, where I would take an appliance, let's say a fan, and plug it into the wall, I would the thing that I would do is I would couple an ammeter and a voltmeter, so I could measure both current draw and voltage, AC voltage, AC current, and I would operate the fan at different speeds to see, to get a baseline, okay, this is, you know, the current draw for the amount of voltage. And I also had a dimmer in the circuit so that I could control the voltage going to the fan, you know, from nominal 120 volts to lower voltages. So then I just cut the wires, and I spliced shungite nuggets into the two wires, the live line and the neutral line. So all the voltage, all the current was going through these two nuggets. And it was it was kind of silly, because for the same settings I had used before, the voltage reading was less, meaning that there wasn't, I know this is going to sound counterintuitive, but because the voltage drop is less, that means that there's less resistance in the system. There's more conductivity. So there was less voltage, and there was more current. It was the craziest thing. I'm not talking about huge amounts, but I'm talking about milliamps. But for the same amount of voltage setting I had tested before, now there was, the end result is that there was more power in the system. There was more electric current in the system than without the nuggets. So it's like the nuggets were putting power into the system.
But at that time, did you have any understanding of what that meant? I mean, why it was happening? Did you make the quantum connection?
To me, it meant that it was making the conductors more conductive. Therefore, there's with less resistance. If you, those folks out there that are aware of Ohm's law, where the equation reads intensity equals tension divided by resistance, meaning that the amperage equals voltage divided by resistance. So the more resistance, the more resistance in the system, you are going to have less amperage. Well, now there's more amperage, and the voltage is slightly lower. So now that means that resistance has been reduced in the system.
Did you have any understanding of what was causing the drop in resistance?
At the time, I had no idea what the Fullerenes were capable of. These were just my own empirical, and I was just doing these tests to see what I was getting out of them.
Right.
I wasn't aware of all the capabilities of the Fullerene.
Right. So when you did it, you were strictly doing an experiment, and you had no preconceived notion as to what the experiment would show, nor when it did show what it did, the results, you had no concept of exactly what was causing those results. So it wasn't any preconceived notion in your head at all. It was pure experiment.
Yeah, correct. I was just getting exposed to shungite, so I couldn't preconceive anything.
Okay, so how did that move from that to the resonator?
Well, what I ended up realizing is the thing that you had said about the Wi-Fi, about how it changed the energy. So that's when I started asking with the pendulum. I started checking the quality of energy. So what is the quality of the energy in this lamp? What is the quality of the energy in this fan? And the quality of the energy it was negative, always counterclockwise, always negative, always counterclockwise. And if you introduce the shungite into that device or system, the energy would change. It would change. It would go clockwise. So that, to me, by being clockwise, is negentropic, the opposite of entropic. Entropic is a winding down of life, the wearing out of systems. It is the decay of energy, the decay of life. That's entropic. Negentropic is the opposite. It's regeneration. It's rejuvenation. It's renewal. And the earth herself is negentropic. Her very existence is constant renewal. That's why the Vedras were quite correct when they said there is eternal life in nature. That's why nature is always renewing itself, because the earth is always renewing itself. It's just that what men have built is the opposite of that. It's entropic. It's always wasting energy, wearing down energy, you know, decay. So with the change, I did the thing with the coil and the organ moving four times the speed of electricity, that would explain why the system is more efficient with shungite in the circuit, because this is another thing that's not explained in electrical or electronic school, because modern day or what is it? You use this word, mainstream. You use the word mainstream to label what's accepted as popular. Mainstream science doesn't teach about the existence of argon in any school, not to my knowledge, unless there's a metaphysical school somewhere where they do teach it. And many people have posed this question. If physics, modern-day physics, accepts that 90% or more of matter is actually empty space, because the space between atoms in any matter compared to the size of the atom is equivalent to the space between stars compared to the size of a star. So they say if a solid material, like the material of a copper wire, is mostly empty space, when you put current through the wire, why is there resistance? What is the current pushing against that you have resistance and the conductor gets hot? The answer is that the current is pushing against the organ in the wire. So I did tests along those lines as well with DC. If I align the direction of current with the polarity, the organ polarity of the wire, the resistance is low. And if I turn the wire around where the current is going in the opposite direction as the organ flow in the wire, the resistance goes up. So that's why the shungite that makes the organ flow faster, that reduces the resistance in the AC system. Because it's not DC, remember? It's AC. So it's not directional in the pure sense of the word. So it makes the conductor more conductive. It reduces that resistance. Therefore, the energy becomes more efficient. And by changing the spin of the energy, that's another thing, that by changing the spin of the energy, now the energy is negentropic, therefore more efficient. When I did the the resonator was a way of introducing the shungite into any system non-invasively, because when I did the test with the fan, I had no choice. I had to invade the system by cutting the wires and splicing the nuggets to the wire, which is, you know, very difficult. It's an awkward thing to do, and you have to make sure the nuggets do move away from, and whatever, you know, you get the point. So I had to figure out a way, okay, how to introduce the shungite field and its effect into a system without invading it, just by sheer touch, by sheer proximity. So I made the two coils, two AccuVac coils, which are interleaved, flowing in opposite directions, because that by flowing in opposite directions, you're doing what the this gentleman, Dan Winter, talks about, phase conjugation, where the two waves meet and they conjugate, creating a third wave. So by building that, when you attach it to a system, like when I put it on the pipe for the natural gas in the house, it affects the quality of the energy of the gas. So the gas went from counterclockwise to clockwise, and the big difference was the efficiency of the hot air furnace. I mentioned it in other shows when I did that first, very first test. It was autumn, and it was 70 degrees in the house, 50 degrees outside, and I kept timing the furnace cycles. Every time it would kick in, and it would shut off, and all the windows were closed, obviously, so as not to affect the test. And it was always the same, 9, 10 minutes, 9, 10 minutes, 9, 10 minutes, and then wait for the next cycle and time it again. So then I went outside and I put the first resonator I made on the one of the pipes of the gas meter. And I doused the question, how long will this take effect? And I kept asking, will it start working immediately? And I got yes. Okay. So waited for the next heating cycle. And I think I timed 6 or 7 heating cycles just for the heck of it. And it was always the same, 4 minutes, 4 minutes, 4 minutes. Temperature difference was the same, 50 outside, 70 inside. So what I was seeing is efficiency. In less amount of time, the furnace was doing the same amount of work. But the difference was that before, it took 9 minutes of fuel to get the same amount of work done because the fuel was entropic. It was a wearing down fuel. It was a negative energy fuel. Now that the fuel is negentropic, positive, it is more constructive. Therefore, the machine is doing is having to waste less fuel to do the same amount of work. And you're extending the life of the machine because now it's negentropic. It's positive. The only exception we meet is when we find a system or a device or something that's extremely old, that's beyond reconstitution, and then the Shanghai just accelerates its decay because there's nothing to rebuild. It's 90% gone or worn down. That's what we find with extremely old batteries or extremely old motors. They're just worn beyond recovery. But if something is brand new or halfway through its life, the Shanghai rejuvenates it. I mean, you witnessed it. Others have witnessed it.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't, for some reason, get the mute off. So at this point in the game, Walt and I began talking to each other. And because I had somebody who could... I could tell him what I was seeing. He could give me a 3D scientific, even though it's enterology science, explanation for what was happening. But before we even got into some of the things that began to happen, you made the spiral, Walt, the Shungite spiral.
Yeah.
Talk about that. How did you come across that?
Well, I just wanted to know, even though each of the nuggets had their own little signature or their own particular fields, my thinking was what's making this field is obviously the presence of the fullerenes. So there must be a base energy signature or an energy essence that represents Shanghai itself. I'm not, at the time we were already seeing how Shanghai just loved energy fields. It would just grab onto them and change them. And I thought, well, what about giving the Shanghai a vehicle to work with? So when you make the implosion coils, which are the spirals, and the reason I call them implosion coils is because the organ circulation in the wire is always flowing inwards. And therefore the coil is forming a toroidal field, like the shape of an apple. And I thought, okay, what if I gave a nugget, and depending on the length of the coil, is going to be the signature of that and the essence of that. You have a different length, you have a different essence or a different frequency if you want to. Since I'm not dealing with electricity, I try to tend to stay away from the word frequency. Frequency is always associated. The connotation of it is electrical systems or electronic systems. So when I'm, since I'm dealing purely with argon or ether in the wire, I like to use the word essence. So depending on the length is the essence of the wire. So I started dowsing if there was a length of wire that made it to a coil would have the same signature essence as Shanghai. I got yes. So I started asking for the value and expressed in inches. And I got the length, which Nancy doesn't believe in coincidences, and I have to agree with her. It turns out that it's equal to 2 times the sacred cubit. It's 2 times 20.6. That became the signature essence for the Shanghai. I don't think it's not an accident of the universe. It's very fractal and very significant because the resonance of the sacred cubit, the resonance of 20.6, guess what it is? It's water. So this thing,
Walter, I've never heard you tell me this before. If you did, I can't imagine I would forget it. That is amazing. Would you repeat that, please?
The resonance essence of 20.6, which is the sacred cubit, is water itself. That's the resonant essence. In fact, that's the color of the field. It's blue. So and here the signature essence for Shanghai was 2 times that.
Mind bending.
And then you and the other ladies had experiences when I sent you the spiral to play with. Because that's another thing I like to repeat, that it was Nancy who taught me early on that with your intention, with your conscious thought, you could shut the Shanghai on and off. Because when I was getting sunburned by that cube, Nancy says, "Why didn't you shut it off?" And I said, "What? You can?" So then I found, oh, yeah, yes, it will shut down if you tell it to shut down. So you guys had a chance to play with the spirals, turning them on and off, and someone got some freezer burn on their skin from having the spiral pressed on their chest.
Well, that was one of the key things to make us know if you weren't energy sensitive. The spiral, when it was in an off position, would just feel room temperature, but if you put it on, you could feel it get cold by a whole degree, centigrade. Mm-hmm. And so you know if it's on or off. But the key here, Walt, was that at the same time that you were making the spiral and getting the concept of the spiral down, you did get the download to make the cube. Okay, because that happened fairly rapidly. It was almost like, okay, if you don't think that it's some kind of a spiritual message he's getting, he's like, you know, the crazy inventor that says, wow, one was good. Let's see what we can do when we put 6 of them together. Right? You know,
yeah.
Because here I am, you know, kind of minding my own business on Cosmic Reality Radio. And we're talking about something. And all of a sudden, Walt says, I made something, but I got to get it out of my house right away. It's just going to you. And I said, well, what is it? And he says, I'm not sure, but I got to get it out of my house. And you said something about being burned or something. And I said, well, okay, right after the show, let's get on visual Skype so I can see what you're talking about. And so we do. And when the screen comes up, and here's Walter's face, only it was like, I mean, I've never seen a sunburn that bad. It was like he was like a lobster.
And I was lobsterized.
Oh, my God. It was freaky. And I said, Walt, what would explain to me what's happening? And so he's got this cube right in front of him. So, but I can't see it in the camera. And he said, well, it's this. And he pulls this thing up and puts it in the camera. And all of a sudden, I'm like getting hit with something that's, you know, I mean, if I had wheels on the chair, I probably would have ended up on the other side of the room. And I'm going, oh my God. So, and I'm going like, okay. And I could see what's happening. He's being burnt energetically by this, whatever he's created there. So I said to Gaia, what do I tell him? And she says, tell him to turn it off. So I yelled at him, turn it off. And he said, what? And I said, turn it off. Just think, go off, off, off. And so I started doing the same thing. And, so he's like, he puts it down. It's no longer in the camera anymore. He's put it down in front of him. And I'm thinking about this going off. And to me, it felt like it shifted off. And he comes back up and he says, it's still on. And I said, oh my God, he's still got the residual in the cube. I said, ground it, put it on the floor. And so he does that and I can't see him. He's leaned over and he puts it on the floor. And when he came and sat back up and so he's in front of the video, the redness was gone that quick. It was all etheric energy. He was overloaded with energy and he was beaming. that's what I figure he was doing, you know. But that was our introduction to the reality cube that we're not going to talk about now. But it just goes to show you that when Walt's not particularly energy sensitive,
thank God,
because he wouldn't be able to do this work. You know, he uses a pendulum almost as a way. Well, what he does with a pendulum, I basically do with my body. But I'm not dealing with stuff like he does. You know, it's, I don't know how he does. Well, I know because he's not, you know, he's not feeling it. He can think about it and know what it's doing. But, okay. So those were we had the spiral, we had the resonator, we had the nuggets, and we had my pendants. And that's what we initially went up with. Who's asking that? You can also ground it. Oh, you're talking to Derek?
He might be talking to me because of what I was mentioning to you in the background there with my vision.
Are you all right now?
Probably going to confuse everybody. Yeah, I'll go really quickly because we're running out of town here. It's starting to slow down, but what's going on is I was having, I don't know how to explain it other than lightning bolts in my vision, but rainbow lightning bolts just shooting everywhere. And so strong that it was blocking part of my vision, and that had never happened before. It was really affecting me, and I wasn't sure what it was. So I was kind of talking to Nancy in the background about that. Wondered if maybe I had to, because I've had several of Walt's devices I've experimented with, and they're extremely powerful. So if you are, like, quote, energy sensitive, you know, just be aware of them. So I'm wondering if maybe just him talking about them online or something. I don't really know. I don't pretend to know it all. But that's what's happening to me right now, and has been for about 10 minutes. Just really blasting me in the head, and again with the rainbow, I don't know how to explain it, but lightning bolts, and just fluttering or shimmering through my whole vision. So, I don't know, a little odd.
Whatever it is, put it in a bottle and sell it.
I know. It's distracting. I don't even know what to do. Again, I'm not going to pretend like I know everything. I'm not an expert. I don't even play one on TV. It just is what it is. And I'm trying to figure it out, but it's
I told you, I threw dragon energy at you. You didn't.
And then a couple of minutes after you said that, you mentioned toning it down. It slowed down. So that's all I can say. Yeah.
Nancy, stop burning your store managers.
I was hesitant to even say anything because I'm like, oh, we're trying to do a radio show. And I stopped commenting in chat because of all this vision. And it's new to me, too. So I'm like, oh, wow. So I don't know.
No, I was serious about that because Gene's got this tape. All right. We're going to put it up on the store soon. And
it's a, yeah.
Okay, it's a digital recording of a couple of sessions that she had at the farm where Jack the Watcher and other Watchers live, with people from all over the world who had come to, I guess you'd call it a workshop. And Jean had recorded this stuff, and she normally does not record, but she was given, you know, permission or told to actually record it. And she sent it to me, and I'm listening to it, And then 3 weeks later, I'm in, like, my body aches all over. I've got, I couldn't stay awake. I was not feeling very good at all. And this goes on from Wednesday to Monday. And I'm talking to Jean, and I'm already starting to feel better. And she says, that's that dragon energy. I said, what are you talking about? She said, I know. It took 3 weeks before it kicked in. She said, but, you know, that's what it was. Because she had the same thing happen to her. But she's, you know, like 20 years younger than I am. So she recovered faster than I did. But when I finally got all the uckies out and I'm playing with this energy, it was like I'm going, I mean, it's amazing. I highly recommend that you do get the tape and that you do go through the process of essentially engaging dragon energy, giving it a welcome mat to come in, because part of what I think is the problem with humanity is that the connection to the dragon etheric side of ourselves was severed. And this is a way of reintroducing the dragon energy back into us. And that's a long story. I'm not going to go into it here. But so I said, oh, I wonder what you do with it. And as I did that, I looked at my hand, and in my hand came this ball of energy, you know. And so I thought, oh, wow, that's really neat. And so I kind of threw it across the room, and about 4 feet to 6 feet, it just dissipated. And so I've been playing with the dragon energy, you know, making these little balls of dragon energy, which is absolutely pure energy. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, here's a little energy. And
well, you know what happens when you get all 7 dragon balls? I think it's 7 or 9. When you get them all together, you can ask for any wish you want.
What did you say? Dragon balls?
You never followed the series Dragon Ball Z?
No.
The heroes look for the Dragon Balls. Once they get from, I think it's 1 through 9 or 1 through 10.
What is
once
a
you get them all together, and you can make any wish you want.
What's a Dragon Ball?
Didn't you say that you're making Dragon Balls?
Energy balls. I'm doing energy balls. What the heck is a Dragon Ball? I mean, I've got a couple of images in my head.
A Dragon Ball, it's a yellow sphere with a black star in it. And it's a Dragon Ball, and there's one has 1 star, one has 2 stars, and I think it's 1 through 10 or 1 through 9. And the purpose is to gather them all together, because when you do that, the dragon appears and he gives you any wish in the universe that you want.
Interesting.
So I figure, oh, Nancy's gathering Dragon Balls.
No, I'm just making little energy things and then kind of shooting them out. And, you know, I was listening to Thunder and I was having a good time, and I made one of these things and I threw it at you guys, and then I threw it at the audience, and then he started having these weird things with his eyes.
I was going to say, are you throwing Dragon Balls at me?
I'm throwing Dragon Balls at everybody.
Because they hit me.
Well, see that, but that's how would I know unless I threw it? That you have
that's
to be
a good point.
You have to be careful. Oh, my goodness. Listen, we're at the top of the end of the show here. NewParadigmTools.net is where you can get directly with Walt. You can also, he's got links on CosmicReality.net, which is where you can find the Shungite Show store. And if you're hearing this, please come to Shungite Reality, the Facebook group, the one that was called Shungite Store. Myself and Walt and Derek have been thrown out of by the person we will now call No Name again. And so that I know that there's people over there very confused. Well, she's also taken off the original image for the group. So all I can tell you is I hope you hear this message and you come over. The same old group is over on Shungite Reality Group. So please come over there. And now, is anybody going to be on somebody else's radio show today?
Not me.
But Walt and I will be back at 6 to 8. And Walt, if you get some time, I'd like to talk a little bit about the C60. I'm going to try to bone up on it myself. And all these negative things they're saying about it.
Yeah, that's why I figured, you know, let's stay away from that name. I get it. It was just a naming convention on your part to make it easier. You just didn't know what was going to happen. So,
well,
I think
just
it must
because
have been a passing fad, this C60 thing.
No, because C60 is a critical ingredient in the understanding of enterology and the connection of the quantum field to everything in geometry and the whole thing. And just because somebody has taken a word that I have used and made it into a lab thing that everybody else is jumping on and saying, oh, no.
That's the distinction, is that no, your C60, is it natural, like the one in Shanghai? Is it man-made, like the one made in labs?
We got cosmic C60. Oh, that's what we'll do. We'll call it cosmic C60.
CC60.
Okay.
See, ours is better because it's got an extra C in it.
Listen, guys, appreciate you. Love you much. And I will be following with Mona's show. So everybody have a great day. Hopefully you catch up with us at 6 o'clock tonight. And also there's going to be some interesting stuff on in the 4 to 6 where Dreamland's going to be playing a couple of really interesting shows. So, you know, don't leave us for the day. You'll have fun. Appreciate you guys. Be safe.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Shanghai Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio, and simulcasted over Haggishack Radio.